Okay, Parshas Vayakel. It's one of those exciting years where Parshas Vayakel stands alone. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu brings the people together, and he says, Eile hadvar masher tziva Hashem lasoso. So these are the things that Hashem commanded you. And he begins by telling us about the laws of Shabbos. Introducing the laws of Shabbos, though, we're told, Sheshes yamim te'asem malacha, for 6 days a week, work may be able to be done for you. Fact of the matter is, in Parshas Yisro, it's the word tavod instead of the word malacha that appears. So why do we mention malacha here, sheshes yamim te'asem malacha, and not mention the concept of avodah, of work? Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal noted there that the words avodah and malacha are not 100% synonymous, but rather, the understanding of malacha, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, is malachas machashevas. It's an understanding of a preparatory, constructive activity. It involves planning. As opposed to avoda, avoda involves breaking your back and doing the work. As far as Shabbos is concerned, avoda is not us or midoraisa. One's allowed to go to work, to do strenuous activities, provided that they're within the spirit of Shabbos. It's the fact that malachas machshevas that is aser midoraisa. The fact of the matter is that malacha, that is preparatory, that is constructive in activity, those are the things that are forbidden. The fact of the matter is that avoda makes one feel unfulfilled with his actions. When a person engages in unnecessary labor, just carrying things one place to another with no apparent basis, the person feels unfulfilled. Rav Soloveitchik's example was an individual who is a crackerjack Talmud Chacham, who is now teaching Aleph Beis. So that person's, for him, the teaching of Aleph Beis is an avoda, because quite frankly, in that process, the person is merely just going to work. When it comes to the Mishkan, there was nothing about the activity that was unfulfilling. That which took place in the Mishkan, every step in what took place in the Mishkan, was considered a malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik noted that when we all work, we also have a purpose toward Shabbos. Sheshes yamim te'asem malacha, 6 days a week, even the mundane activities that we seem to be doing, should have a constructive preparatory purpose, namely to get us to Shabbos and the Kodesh. Thus it would no longer become an avoda, but rather a malacha. And thus, in the context of the Mishkan, we're told, Sheshes yamim te'asem malacha, uvayom ha-shvi'i yelachem kodesh. Then, afterwards, we turn to the process of the building of the Mishkan, and we're told, Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bitzal ben Uri ben Hur, that, behold, Hashem called the name of Bitzal ben Uri ben Hur. And the question has to be raised, why does Moshe need to say Re'u? We met Bitzal in last week's parsha. And furthermore, why is Bitzalel always referred to as Bitzalel ben Uri ben Hur? Why the double reference? So the late great Mir Rosh Yeshiva of Nassim Tzvi Finkel Zatzal pointed out that Hur was most nefesh for the truth and for faith in Hashem. And that same dedication was displayed by his grandson when his grandson was building the Mishkan. We learn a powerful lesson from here, says Rav Nassim Tzvi. Parents and grandparents can have a major impact on children and grandchildren. We need to remember it and see it and take that lesson to heart. Ru'u, see what happens when a grandson imbibes the message of a grandparent. Go ahead and make that part of our lives as well. We then read about how everyone made their donations. And the Torah says, V'hanasiyim heviyue savnei ashoam ve'savnei amiluim, that, and Rashi highlights that the Nasiyim here is spelled without a yud, because the Nasiyim tarried in their donation. They decided to let everybody else bring everything, and then they would weigh in on the situation. And the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Kfar Aroer, Moshe Tzvi Neria, notes that it wasn't the laziness of the Nasiyim that the Torah is highlighting here in their detriment. Rather, it was the fact that they showed a lack of awareness of the passion and the desire of the people to donate and dedicate, that was their costly mistake. The bottom line is, a leader who doesn't know the potential of his people lacks leadership quality. You need to believe in the potentials of the people you lead if you're going to lead them successfully. The Nasiyim thought that their job was to make up the lack. Their job wasn't to make up the lack. It was to go ahead and inspire the people by leading. The Torah then goes on in one of the more difficult psukim to understand. The Torah says, V'hamalacha ha'isa dayam v'hoser. And the Rechaim HaKadosh asks, what's the big deal if the Mishkan were to have a treasury, what's the big deal if they were to be in the red? And he answers that the reference to Dayam Vahoser, enough and beyond, is a reference to that which was collected, not to the donors. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu explains the Urachayim HaKadosh to say that if there were to be a surplus of materials, then the donors who donated towards that surplus would be annoyed. And everyone would come together and fight to see that their gold and their silver, their materials, were the ones that were used, not merely set aside as the reserve or the leftover. To that, the work was dayam. In totality, everyone felt comfortable. But as far as the treasury was concerned, vehoser, the amounts were more than enough. Seizing on the same pasuk, dayam vehoser, of Yaakov Neuberger Shlita notes the irony and the contradiction of terms between dayam, which sounds like it was just enough, and hoser, which clearly means that it was more. Rabbi Neuberger explains that it's not so ironic if you consider the donation versus the consideration of the donor. When some people choose to donate, they choose to select the components that recognize their particular place in Avodas Hashem. Other people don't bother to contemplate these things. As far as the Mishkan were concerned, says Rabbi Neuberger, these people always have that place in the Mishkan, but it'll be hoser, it'll be in that generic extra. Homiletically speaking, we need to take the time out to contemplate each person's personal place within Torah Judaism. Some people are destined to be Klei Kodesh. Some people need to use their wisdom, and they identify more with the menorah. Some people need to focus on Parnassa and the Parnassa needs of the community, and will identify with the Shulchan. Still others want to worry about the spirit of the Jewish people and will identify with the Mizbach HaKtoris, or with the daily service in shul life, and will turn around and identify with the Mizbach HaNechoshes. Everyone feels a certain hand. And if we take the time out to contemplate our own personal place within Torah Judaism, we can find our particular place of contribution and build beautiful, useful Mishkanos to serve Hashem united forevermore. The Torah continues to highlight the fact that Bezalel, Vayas Bezalel es Aaron. The question has to be raised, why is Bezalel's name specifically mentioned here in the context of the Aaron, and not in regard to any other Kli? So the Sefer Yalaschein explains that Bezalel was Moser Nefesh from the Mishkan more than any other person alive at the time. And frankly, the purpose of the Mishkan was to have a place for Hashem Shechina, which, quite honestly, is based centrally in the Torah, which was housed in the Aron. The Torah tells us, the Torah, we are told in Chazal, is only set aside for those who dedicate their lives to Torah. As Chazal tells us, Ein divrei Torah miskaimim ela b'mi shemei misatzmo aleihem. So without Bezalel's dedication, where he was literally Memis Atzmo, there would have been no place for the Torah to have been housed. And therefore, says the Yalas Chain, Bezalel is singled out here. His dedication created the place for the Aron. Finally, we are told in the Parsha that he made the Kior, Vayasas HaKior B'maros HaTzovos, from the mirrors that glowed. And Rashi cites the fact that it was the women who donated these mirrors that they had used to beautify themselves for their husbands. Chazal tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was not very fond of the mirrors and decided he didn't want to use them. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Elu chaviven alai mikol, these are the most beloved to me. Rav Volba Zatzal comments that although it's difficult to understand why Elu chaviven alai mikol, why these were the most beloved, they do prove that beauty is not a shallow matter in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, it's where and for what the beauty is used that helps us understand what the point is for, namely, the understanding to increase Kedusha within the world. In the Haftorah this week, we read about the building of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. The Mashgiach of Karen Biavne, Rabbi Avram Rivlin Shalita, notes that the Mishkan, which is the primary focus of the Torah reading, and the Beis HaMikdash, which highlights the Haftorah, were actually not carbon copies of one another. What right does Shlomo HaMelech have to deviate from the building directions of these parshios, of Truma, of Tetzaveh, of a little bit of Kisitsa, certainly of Vayakal and Pekudei? And Rav Rivlin answers that when David HaMelech sat with Shmuel, there's a certain intention that he was b'na'ot b'rama. He found himself in na'ot b'rama, to which the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis notes that na'ot b'rama was actually in the name of a place. It also was the fact that they stayed up all night, David and Shmuel, studying the na'ot, that which was beautiful, Birumo Shalolam, in the beautiful, most beautiful place of the world. Clearly, the most beautiful place in our world is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash. And what was happening at that moment was that David HaMelech was receiving instructions about when to innovate and in what way to deviate when building the Beis Hamikdash, Al Yidei Navi Ve'urim Ve'tumim. The bottom line is that in our lives there's always a desire to innovate, to make things fresh and new. But it's only when we do things in a way that is sanctioned, only then can we turn around and make Na'ot Barama. We can certainly go ahead and make sure that we do, is that we take that which is on the ultimate high and bring it up and bring it to a loftier plane, to Rumo Shel Olam. Shabbat Shalom to all.